And all economists agree on that. And as I said at the outset, we're at peace. We're at peace. Peace for young Americans. Peace for young freedom lovers everywhere in this world. And we're at peace because we're providing the leadership. And they know where we stand. And you know where President Ford stands. And he stands up for America. And we'll continue that with your support. Thank you very much.
That of President Ford. I have had a unique opportunity to serve in Washington while being on the House Judiciary Committee. And because of that particular position, I came into contact not only with Gerald Ford prior to his assuming the vice presidency under those difficult times, but as minority leader. And when he was nominated to serve as vice president, the House Judiciary Committee had to pass judgment upon his qualifications. And under the tremendous magnification of the national news media, I can recall that that committee looked for every sign of, or possible sign of corruption, of any sort of misrepresentation, any sort of defect whatsoever. And what they found under that magnification was a man of great honor, great honesty, and decency. And I think those qualities, which are reflected in President Ford, are also shared by his running mate, Senator Bob Dole. He's a man of great common sense, and I think of common decency, who's going to do a great deal to continue the restoration of confidence and pride that we have in Washington. And so it's with great pleasure that I have the opportunity and the honor to introduce to you our next Vice President, Senator Bob Dole.
Thank you very much, and I'm very pleased to be in the county. I guess that's the code word for the largest area in Maine and one of the great areas in this great country of ours. I remember serving in the House with a dear friend of mine and certainly a great friend of Maine. Cliff McIntyre was my good friend. I'm very proud to say that. We served on the House Ag Committee together, and this was always one of his great areas that he represented. Of course, I'm pleased now to have an outstanding man like Bill Cohen working for us. We're going to ride in on his coattails or his necktie or any way we can get there. We're going to hang right on, Bill. I'm also very pleased to see Mr. Collins again this morning. We appreciate the chance of visiting with him my last visit to Maine about a matter of great interest to this area. And I appreciate your efforts and wish you every success and look forward to seeing you again in the Senate, of course. So we're happy for that. I'm very proud to be in Maine. I was asked last night, what are you doing in Maine? There are only four electoral votes. What I'm doing in Maine ought to be obvious. We're trying to carry the great state of Maine with your help, and I think we're going to do it. Are you ready to help us for the next 7 days? I'm very proud of President Ford. I'm very proud to be running with President Ford, and I've said to my friends everywhere, don't worry about me, because I've figured out if Ford makes it, I'm going to make it. So you spend all your time working for President Ford, and I just hope that the polls are accurate because it shows that we have the momentum that's going our way, and it's going to happen on November 2nd, and it's going to be a great day for America. A great day for Democrats and Republicans and independents who have a like philosophy. And that's really what it's all about. You have a choice of voting for an unknown quantity, Governor Carter, or for a known quantity of leadership and decency and honesty in President Ford. And I think you'll make the right choice. And I think that'll be the right choice for America. I'm very pleased to see so many young people in the audience. And I know some got out of school, so I understand I understand the incentive program. Because I want to speak just a few minutes. You know, today we're celebrating Veterans Day in many parts of the country. Others will celebrate it on the day it ought to be celebrated, November 11th. The next is for us. And next year we'll all celebrate it on that date, but it's a good time to talk about the past and celebrate the hopes and promises of the future. And it's certainly a time that we honor brave men and brave women who fought for America and died for America and gave their limbs or part of themselves for America. And of course, during all that time, we hope that we'll have a day in America where there are no more veterans. Where because of peace in the world and peace at home, veterans are a thing of the past. And it's certainly a time that we pray that never again will American blood be spilled at home or abroad in armed conflict. And we are reminded that four times in this century we have gone to war. And each time the war became self-justifying, but each time the harsh light of history reveals that war rarely begins for reasons that were self-justifying, but rather because of weakness and wishful thinking and bad leadership. And I think it's fair to say that no one hates war, of course, more than those who had to fight and those who had to leave their family. Of course, no one felt worse about the war than those families who lost someone or someone still might be unaccounted for in Southeast Asia or wherever. And I think no one has a greater right to insist upon leadership that understands how to prevent war and how to protect the liberty and to preserve peace than those who have had to fight. And I say that we have such leadership in the White House today. Today, America is strong. And in our little debate with Senator Mondale, whatever it was, down in Houston, Texas, I attempted to reach into the living room and talk to the mothers and the grandmothers and the young men who might be in the audience. Because our surveys indicate that a great many women are still undecided on how they may vote on November 2nd. And it occurred to me that there are a lot of faults in this country. No one is perfect. President Ford's not perfect. Certainly I'm not perfect. There are only probably a few people in this audience who are, and they have yet to identify themselves. But I kind of wonder as I travel around the country, sure, we have our problems, and yes, there's unemployment, but we are at peace. Is there anything wrong with being at peace? Anything wrong with your son being able to go to school without interrupting his education? He can plan ahead, doesn't have to worry about the draft. No one is being drafted. No one is being shipped overseas to fight some war that we don't understand. So the more I think about it, the more I reflect on the leadership of President Ford. And we're respected by our friends and by our adversaries overseas because we're strong. And we're strong because President Ford insists that the Congress not make us number two and not continue to cut our defense budget as they have over the past 10 years. So I think there's a very critical distinction. A distinction that more than almost any other factor, there is this distinction between what the Democrats offer and what President Ford has demonstrated. Not offered, but demonstrated. Because under our leadership and under his leadership, our military capabilities have been improved and maintained. Our defense budget has experienced real growth for the first time in several years. And our military establishment is operating at record efficiency. Yet those who say that our priorities are distorted. And I suggest to this audience, because I know you're concerned about spending, we shouldn't waste money in defense. Certainly not. We're all against waste. We all want to cut the fat out of the budget, just as we do in any other program. But I say I would rather spend $1 million, or for that matter, $1 billion to preserve peace, than to expend a single human life in pursuit of war. And that's what it's really all about. That's what America's all about. That's what the leadership is all about. And if this is callous indifference, which we hear from Senator Mondale almost on a daily basis, then let Governor Carter and Senator Mondale make the most of it. Now, Governor Carter is the nominee of a great American political party, the Democrat Party, the party that also gave us George McGovern. Once that party, like our party, believed in a strong America, but no longer. Today that party has given us Jimmy Carter and Walter Mondale, who no matter how they protest to the contrary, advocate and vote for measures that would only weaken America. Now, Jimmy Carter denies this, but the press, which seldom errs when reporting what Democrat candidates say, has told us in Savannah and again in Los Angeles that E. Carter really wants to cut the defense budget some $15 billion. Now, he's changed that to $5 to $7 billion this year. But I say $15 billion, as Jimmy Carter advocates when he talks to liberal Democrats, or the $5 to $7 billion that he advocates when he talks to the rest of us, are both too much. Any cut in defense spending right now is too much. I haven't noted the Russians cutting defense spending. I haven't noted the People's Republic of China cutting defense spending. You know it, and I know it, and President Ford knows it. And that is why when we elect Gerald Ford to a full four-year term, America will continue to remain strong. Now, none of us really knows, and I've said this all over this country, none of us really knows where Governor Carter does stand. He still has 1 week, 8 days to tell us. But by his own admission, he shades his speeches to suit his audiences. Maybe he wouldn't weaken America. I think he would. Maybe he wouldn't. There's no doubt that Walter Mondale would. Walter Mondale, the man who would be a heartbeat away from the presidency. And Walter Mondale is my friend, as I've indicated to him publicly and privately many times. But Walter Mondale has also voted against every major defense program and voted for almost every budget cut in defense in recent years. And I won't recite all, but among others, he's voted against the B-1 bomber, against the C-5A aircraft, against the nuclear-attacked aircraft carrier, against the F-14 fighter, against the Poseidon missile, against the sophisticated battle tanks, against modernizing our Mediterranean fleet, against the cruise missile, against the ABM, and for major cross-the-board slashes in the defense budget. Now, that's not a record of a man who's concerned about fat in the budget. We all want to cut the fat out of the budget. It's a record of insensitive indifference to the legitimate national security needs of our nation, a record which reflects a naive view of the world, and it's a record which concerns peace-loving peoples throughout the world, and which, if were adopted as U.S. policy, would signal weakness to our friends and foes around the globe. Now, Senator Mondale would not only weaken America militarily, but he would also weaken America economically. Oh, Senator Mondale is very big on government spending, big on welfare, big on make work programs for America, like leaf raking and ditch digging, but he's not much on gainful employment. In the name of reducing defense spending, he would throw hundreds of thousands of Americans out of work, and then he'd put them on welfare. The Defense Department estimates, for example, that Jimmy Carter's minimum proposal to cut spending by $5 to $7 billion would cost an estimated 200 to 560,000 jobs. Neither Carter nor Mondale mentions this when they talk about cutting defense spending. They don't tell us either what they'd do with these men and where they would put these men and women who've lost their jobs. I don't think they know. When you come right down to it, I don't think they care. We believe in reforming welfare. We believe in maintaining our defenses. Carter and Mondale believe in less defense and more welfare. And I think veterans, and I say particularly veterans, but also to young men in this audience and their mothers and their grandparents, you can choose between these philosophies next Tuesday. You can decide if you want to cut American sales of arms abroad as Carter and Mondale want to. We're talking about sales to our friends. A total end of these sales would cost us another 350,000 jobs within 4 years. I don't want that, and I don't think you do either. And I think veterans in particular should shudder to think that Senator Mondale is just a heartbeat away from the most powerful job in the free world. And I think sometimes we took a look at what they suggest they want to cut. It's not only bad for America, it's downright frightening. So I think we recognize that the first duty of American leadership of this nation's war veterans is to ensure that there will be no more war veterans. And that's the way President Ford sees it. That's the way I see it. I just can't understand And I can't believe we can sit down with the Russians or any other superpower and make any meaningful agreement if we're going to be number two in the world or if we're going to be weak. I think it makes a great deal of sense to be strong. Strong for the sake of peace. We have no aggressive intentions. We seek no territory. We do love our freedom. We want to preserve it. Yes, for ourselves and for our children and for grandchildren, for those yet unborn. And so I just suggest, in the most sincere way that I can, that if you're undecided, if you still have some concern, you're still not quite certain, then I would take a look at this one issue. Where are our best chances for peace and freedom and strength for young Americans, for young people everywhere in the world? And I say our one choice and our best choice lies with President Ford's re-election on November 2nd. Also say in conclusion that it's been a great honor and a privilege to travel America, to learn about America, and I've traveled America quite a bit before, but to learn more about America, learn more about American people. And I find that most Americans, regardless of party, have pretty much the same hopes and the same aspirations. Most Americans, I think, rightfully so, want less government. They want less government domination, less government spending, less government interference, less government control. And that's particularly true in farm areas. And I come from a farm state myself. I've served on the House and Senate Agriculture Committees a total of 16 years. And President Ford has indicated I'll have a very important role to play in agriculture in the next administration, particularly as it relates to farm exports, which is of great interest in this area. And so I would only say that just take a look at our record. We're not perfect. The record is there. It's a record of sound conservative philosophy, conservative to a moderate philosophy, that I think is in tune with the philosophy of most Americans, whether it be on tax reform, which Governor Carter talks about, but really hasn't said much about. He said that, of course, that he didn't think Americans wanted their taxes lowered. Anybody here who doesn't want their taxes lowered? One. We'll have the doctor see you right after the meeting. He's also said that all income ought to be treated alike. That sounds great, unless you're a farmer, or unless you're retired, living on fixed income and own some stock that you might want to sell. Because if Carter has his way and all income is treated alike, you don't get any capital gains treatment anymore. It's all taxed the same. It would double your tax on the sale of stock, for example. Or if you own breeding stock, if you're in agriculture. So I think we've got a lot to think about. He's also said that all church property except the church itself ought to be taxed. What about church homes and orphanages and senior citizens' homes and church hospitals? This is what he said, not what I said. These are his quotes, not my quotes. So I just feel that in the last 7 or 8 days, we have a great responsibility. You're going to make the choice. We're going to carry the great state of Maine. We're going to carry the state of Maine because people are concerned, because people are finding out that you can't find out about Carter. He won't tell you. And we're catching up as people are catching on to Governor Carter. And if he wants to have three positions on every issue, that's his right. But you only have one choice on Election Day, and that's your right. And I just suggest, for the good of America, whether you're Republican or Democrat or Independent, the right choice, the choice for America, for peace and freedom and prosperity, is the election of President Ford. Thank you very much.
You celebrated as a holiday.
Right. Well, we just come from Presque Isle, Maine, where we don't celebrate it today, but they will on the 11th. Well, we're happy back in Rhode Island, and we're going to carry this state with 4 electoral votes, and every vote counts. Things are looking up. Won't be long now.
editor of every poll, the news magazine said.
About what we've been doing the last several weeks to close the gap. We think it's really closing, and it's going to be a very close race. Our polls indicate that it's doable, and we're out trying to do it.
Senator, why isn't that showing up in these polls?
I don't know. I don't know what the basis. In fact, I haven't seen U.S. News. I heard about it on the TV this morning. I can't remember which network, but one of the networks, and also about the Time poll, what, 48 to 44? The Harris poll shows us about 3 down if you include McCarthy, 4 or 5 if you don't. We're getting more polling information later today or tomorrow. I don't know what it is. Not certain I can reveal it when I do, but, you know, we're hopeful.
So what's going to make up the minds of the independent and decisive voters?
I really believe it helps President Ford. It seems to me that when you get into that booth and you're still sort of undecided, nothing's happened in the last week to change your mind, you're going to do one of 2 things. You're going to vote for the incumbent or stay home.
Senator Dole, you're going to be seeing some veterans today from World War I and II, and there's an awful lot of Vietnam vets in this state, and a lot of them are unemployed. What can you say about them? What can be done to help those unemployed Vietnam vets?
Well, I think we're working on it, and I was pleased to see the last unemployment figures in Rhode Island drop 1.2%. It's still too high, but it's down from 9.9 to 8.7. We're also... I know one area in Rhode Island, they're putting 1,000 people to work on the Triton submarine, which my counterpart, Senator Mondale, is opposed to. He'd rather have welfare than jobs. I think jobs are more important. So I'm going to talk with the veterans. I think one thing we must do is cut inflation and find meaningful employment, not government make-work jobs, but... We're working at it. We think we're making progress.
Senator, some of the veterans may take umbrage in your remark about those being Democrat wars in which they and you were wounded. Do you want to clarify that for us?
No, I suggested, you're talking about the debate?
Yes, sir.
I suggest that they wanted to bring up the past, as they do frequently in Watergate, then we could talk about the wars that were under Democrat administration.
Well, does that mean that the Civil War was a Republican war, or that the Spanish-American War was a Republican war, or what? I mean, were you fighting for the Democratic Party when you had your arm wounded?
Well, it's more than that, but I think probably I had some reservations about it at the time, but once you get involved in that, of course, everybody does it. And,
there's a reservation for fighting World War II.
No, I say they become self-justifying. I've had a lot of reservations, not about fighting it, but every time I get dressed in the morning, I think about it.
Senator, you've taken some flack about your comments on the Democrat wars, what you call the Democrat wars. Are you sorry you brought that up in the debate?
No, I brought it up in the proper context. I can't help the way people write about it. We said if you want to go into the past, then let's go into the past.
Did you blame the Democrats for over 1 million dead and wounded in the debate?
Oh, not totally. No, I say if you want to go into the past and talk about Watergate, indict the entire Republican Party and all of us who ever run for office because we're Republicans, then let's go back and take a look at somebody get hurt. Look at some of the wars. You know, it's no fair to. For Mondale and Carter to stand up and say, well, you're a Republican and Nixon was Republican, therefore somehow everybody's tainted with Watergate than it is to suggest anything else. That
was
the
spur of the moment comment.
Oh, no, no.
Figuring, right? You added up the
I didn't do any figuring. I mean, it's not hard to find out how many were killed.
How would a Republican president have handled the Nazi and the Japanese threat in 1940 and 41?
Well, I don't know about that, but I think we've got... The problem is right now we've got 2 candidates on the other side, one who votes against almost all defense spending, Senator Mondale, votes against every new weapon system, including the Triton submarine. We've got Governor Carter, who said last year he wanted to cut defense by $15 billion. This year he's gone down to $5 to $7 billion. On the other hand, we have President Ford, who's, for the first time in a long time, we have real growth in our defense budget. I just say, and I'm going to say it all day today and the rest of this campaign, I want to be strong for the sake of peace. I don't want to be number 2 or number 3 in the world and somehow get caught up in some war.
Senator, do you think the presidential debates